Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, whatever it is, you're moving on from Kevin Keats. That said, you can't take a Final Four away from a man. Does it change who you are as a coach? No, but it absolutely gives you an equity that, you know, Penny Hardaway, all these guys would die for, just in terms of to have.
Yes.
You were crowned when you make a Final Four.
Yes. And that's the beauty.
In a way that you're not without it.
That's the beauty of the tournament, right? The beauty of the tournament is that it can wipe away a whole tenure.
I mean, that's what Matt Painter was missing. Now that he's got it, you have to back off completely in terms of the underachiever thing.
Painter's stamped.
He's stamped. That's what I'm saying. Once you get that.
But he at least had the regular season stuff to go with it, right? Kevin Keats didn't have nothing. He didn't have nothing.
I mean, you call it a fluke all you want to, and in many ways it is.
Yeah.
But he's got it, bro. You get to another level when you get it. It doesn't mean that the next 2 years at NC State are going to be ready to win the ACC. They're not.
Right.
More than likely.
But he has automatic extensions in there anyway, so he's a made man.
He triggered two. How many left did he have on it already?
I don't think he had any, right?
That's what I'm saying. They're about to fire him. He's at the end.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's got two more. That's it.
Because
they likely won't do anything.
But what if he wins the ACC tournament again?
Well, then you may as well just keep him, give him the lifetime deal that Josh Pastner used to give out to everybody if he does that again. 5 and 5 days is crazy. 5 and 5 days to win the ACC tournament is absurd. Absurdly, you can't make this stuff up.
Exactly right. Yes, but it's been a fun tournament in that regard.
I don't think Saturday's going to be all that fun, but it'll be fun thinking about the matchups on Monday.
Exactly. Like,
these are going to be some blowouts.
Don't mess this up, okay? I need the teams that really don't belong in this thing to lay down. So that we get the main event.
Stand down, yeah.
Yeah, like, exactly. Not lay down, but yeah, stand down is a better way to put it. Mm-hmm. But I'd appreciate it if NC State would go ahead and lay down.
It's been a hell of a year. We got the 2 years for Kevin. We can kind of move out of the way.
I bet Purdue -8.5. Did bet them. Because I just feel like they're going to shoot better than they did against Tennessee.
Oh, that's why you told me. For sure you're going to be on the Alabama's a better game because you've already stamped it.
Yes. I'm
surprised you even listened to my reasoning.
I'm thinking about laying it with UConn. I'm thinking about still laying it. I certainly ain't betting Bama. I ain't running to bet Bama. I mean, good grief. Them folks don't care. Them folks don't care what the number is. They win about 30 every night. This is crazy. Dude, I bet on sports every day. I've never seen anything like what UConn is doing. Yeah. They're just covering every number, dude. I mean, going back to last year.
What was the number going into the Illinois game?
9.
So at halftime, you were still.
They were right there.
At halftime,
it was 9.5. It was 9.5.
So it was 9 pregame. You didn't quite know then. You didn't quite if they were going to. But then the 30-0.
But honestly, if you're watching the 30-0 run, if you were watching that game, and you heard what Brett Underwood said, which was, if he has 100 blocks, you got 100 blocks, then you knew.
You knew where it was hidden.
Yeah. Bro, they're not adjusting to this. Like, they're just going to keep going at them and getting turned back. So even though they were only down 5, I don't really think if you're an Illinois fan, you had much hope about the second half. Because when Klingon was on.
You weren't getting anything.
Yeah, the only time you were making any kind of push was when he was on the bench. Mm-hmm. And they did, to their credit. But when Klingon came back on, it was like, different, just different. So I imagine the split. I don't know what the splits will be with Bama because they're built so differently than Illinois is in that standpoint. You know, Domask wants to kind of take you down and play the old man game, back you down. Right. You know, Terrence Shannon is like a bull in a china shop. He wants to get to the rim and finish, and Alabama's the complete opposite. It's going to be Sears taking Steph Curry shots.
Mm-hmm.
And if they go in, how does UConn respond? Because UConn, I'll be honest.
They won't be rattled, John. Tell you
that 30-0 run happened, but it was all because of Klingon defensively, right? It just sparked them. But they really did not play well at all outside of Klingon in that first half. I mean, I don't know. Like, we'll just have to see. I'm intrigued in that regard. It's been a fun tournament. We're down the Final Four. We'll talk to Rob Doster a little bit more about it at about 12:25, 12:30. Back with the Rundown. Jason and John, 90.5 ESPN.
Every day around this time we do the Rundown. Let's do it.
It's the Rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
We have, courtesy of the Commercial Appeal and Tigers basketball beat writer Jason Munns, numbers. Actual turnstile count numbers this season for the Memphis Tigers down at FedEx Forum. And I'll be honest with you, the picture is not a rosy one. Tiger basketball last year drew an average of 6,827 fans through the turnstiles. Again, this is actual butts in seats, not announced attendance. And the reason that's important because of the lease agreement with right. FedEx Forum with the Grizzlies, it's the turnstile count. It's the butts and seats that matter in terms of where it's got to be to get your payout, your annual payout that you get from the Memphis Grizzlies. We've been talking about this for years. And frankly, it reached its height in terms of us, the attention and how much we talked about it, that last Tubby Smith year where it went below 6,000.
Well,
and as a result of that contract, when it goes below 6,000, actual butts and seats, this is average number, you get nothing from the Grizzlies of that $800,000 payout. That is, if you're over 10,000, that's the full payout. If you're less than 10,000, which the Tigers were, you get a proportionate amount from the Memphis Grizzlies. So, to sum all that up, the Tigers will get a payment this year. It'll be proportional at 6,827, but they're getting closer to that 6,000 line. Again, last year, I hadn't said this, so not again, but the number's down from 7,458. Here's why I'm going to tell you personally why it's concerning, just in terms of my own thought here. You got to take into account, that was a pretty good non-conference schedule.
Yep.
Now, I know we can go back and forth on the teams that you did play in FedEx Forum, and yes, many would say, well, I'd rather see Arkansas than see Vanderbilt. We get it, but for the most part, as we said, that was a non-conference schedule that you held up. You had Virginia in here. You had Clemson in here. The fact that you dropped with a schedule like that's not great. The fact that you dropped in a season where you were 15-2 and number 10 in the country at one point. Again, the fall off didn't occur until, my gosh, I mean, you had folks around here feeling a way that they hadn't felt since the Cal years, mm-hmm. with where that Memphis team was ranked at that point in the season. We're talking late January. Everything looked great. And so the fact that this number has fallen below last year's number, you know, that it continues, that it's dropping, yep. is not a good sign. It is not at all. You had one game last year that actually went over 10,000 in attendance in terms of actual butts and seats. And that was Clemson.
Wow.
10,587. Virginia's right there, 95, 97, you know, but in terms of, you know, what you were hoping for, Vandy, 8,900. And, of course, here's the other thing. those Houston games you could depend on back in the day. And I say games, it was one that you would get them there in FedEx Forum. I think last year it went over 10,000. You don't have them anymore. In terms of the AAC, the best thing you had was UAB, that last one, 9,000. And so this is it's not good in the sense that you are right now, a little bit over 6,000 down from last year. And again, it's that 6,000 number. You get below that, we're talking where you were when Tubby Smith was the coach.
Damn.
And so, yeah, no payout from the Grizzlies.
Damn.
And again, Memphis needs that money. That is part of the contract, and they need that money every year. So you will get a proportion of it again this year. It is not good news that attendance fell, although I think many of us sort of expected as much when you started to see some of the announced numbers.
Right.
You know, not as high as maybe we'd expected, which meant, okay, that means lower turnstile count numbers, obviously. So it's not great news. You are still in a better place than you were with Tubby. As Munns pointed out, weirdly, you're in a better place than you were 2 years ago. So you're higher than that, but there's not, you know, a lot of good news in this. At 68-27. And, you know, 827 fans, okay, you're solidly above 6,000, but Penny Hardaway can't afford for this thing to go down anymore. And again, when you're coming off of a season, to put the bow on this, as like Memphis had, where it was just complete debacle there at the end. You know, you're heavily invested with NIL. How much faith, how much belief is there going to be? Folks rushing to buy season tickets when you're coming off of a season where, again, we thought at one point you'd be a 4 or 5 seed perhaps.
Yep.
You know, you ended up out of the tournament. It was an embarrassing season for Memphis, certainly. So the idea that the numbers are going to pop back up next year, probably pretty far-fetched. So this will be something you're obviously keeping an eye on because it was one of the things that got Tubby Smith fired.
It was.
Once fans decided to stop coming to games,
yep,
there was no way forward with Tubby Smith, no matter how good a coach he is. And that's a Hall of Fame coach.
Correct.
And so it just, you know, the money issue here is a big one. And right now, it ain't looking great for Penny Hardaway.
Well, I would like I guess what I would say when you go through
it was 6.483 2 years ago, went up to 7.458 last year, back down, but still above 2 years ago, 6.827. It's not good news.
It's not. It, undeniably, like, you can't paint that.
I can't spin this and tell you, oh, it was higher than it was 2 years. No. The context here is it's dropping. And if you drop below 6,000, you're getting into a place where you're talking about no payment. You know, that's not an area you want to be in. And again, that's when you start having to look at, okay, what are we, you have to reevaluate what's going on in terms of leadership and everything else. You did it with a Hall of Fame coach, you know, after 2 years. So, again, not good news.
Yeah, I think the spin I would put on it is that when you talked about the best home games, those were the best attended. Like Clemson and Virginia basically were 10,000.
Right there, 10,000. Clemson's 10,500, Virginia's 9,500.
So that's good. I mean, I would say 10,000 is good.
I'll tell you what, UAB 9,000. The fact that folks got up for that game.
Right.
Man, Andy, we're going to need you. Maybe more, even more than we thought we were going to need you.
I mean, realistically, right?
Yeah, Virginia, that's a one decent game out of
Virginia was ranked, but that was not a high level game. I mean, I don't know if people like flock to places to watch Virginia play. Clemson was ranked, but same problem, right? It's not a brand. Still, people tend. So imagine if you got a real brand. You know, I think that's my take from that. From those numbers is that it emphasizes Memphis's need to get recognizable brand get home.
But the issue is, okay, let's go get Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Well, they don't want to start
it's
a home and home at
right.
Memphis. You
that's
know
right.
what I'm saying? And so it becomes, you can say that all day long, but then going out and getting them to come here.
Correct. It's not easy to do.
It's not easy to do.
And but they have to. Otherwise, they're going to be in this situation every single year. So you got to do what two for ones or something.
I'll tell you the part that scares me is that you're talking about coming off of a season where I think we all felt around here, Mips caught a bad break with Kendrick Davis in that NCAA tournament trip. But you know what? Penny will be back right next year because he's found they're playing defense. He went out and got a ton of players. They get up to number 10 in the country.
Yep.
Again, you had a giddy feeling around here that you hadn't felt in years, and you're still talking about a drop.
Yeah.
So how close is Penny going to get to that again, being top 10 in the country, right? Because you're going to need to be that and more
yep.
to get it back on the uptick. Yeah, that's scary. You were right there. You were close to breaking through.
Yeah.
And it dropped. That's what scares me.
I think that's totally fair.
And again, Penny, we can go around. We can talk about job Penny's done. You can look at the record, everything else. Hey, you won an ACC tournament, all that. If fans decide that they don't believe anymore, it doesn't matter. Penny's skill level, whether that transfer portal, all he can do, doesn't matter.
No, it's 100%.
Because it essentially they speak for you in terms of you know who you've got leading you. So this is a number that needs to go back up, obviously. How do you get it up? How do you get it up?
I ask myself this question every day.
Yeah, Jeffrey would have said praise him. You're right. I try to avoid those, even not a part of that. But I walked right into that one.
I think one of our biggest fans.
See, you want to play? This is serious.
Jeff has the sex therapist on every Valentine's Day, and
that's what she said.
The annual sort of
Dr. Valley.
All right, still works. You know, like
the sex therapist. It does feel like there's one.
She's cornered the market. You know what I mean?
Around here.
But
you see what I'm saying? This was supposed to be the breakthrough year where it goes back up.
At least
half of it is great and it's thriving and it's, you know.
The path is daunting.
The numbers don't suggest that.
Look, I don't really think it's going to happen. I'm sorry.
You don't think what's going to happen?
I don't think it's going to happen in terms of restoring attendance. I don't think it's going to happen in terms of making a tournament next year. I don't think any of those things is going to happen right now.
Well, part of this too is when this contract was signed, Memphis getting 10,000 plus in actual butts and seats was an easier thing to do in the sense that you had a stronger program at that time. Yes, in terms of, you know what's been accomplished here, what Cal was doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's all part of this, but college basketball has changed too, and so has attendance across the board, and that's the one point of this we have not brought up. They're also fighting that.
Yep.
I mean, if you put Memphis's attendance numbers against the rest of the AAC, you're going to look at something that you say, okay, this is successful. That's it. So they're fighting a battle too that's across the board in college basketball where, listen, filling up an 18,000 NBA or, you know, an 18,000 seat NBA arena for your college basketball team, that's even if they're good, that's not something that was as easy or as frequently seen as it was in the past. So you've got that, too. You got that people, you know, now you can see all these games on ESPN Plus and everything else. You know, so you're fighting that battle as well. And that's one that you may never recover from. Like, that's not just going to pop back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, attendance is down across the board in college basketball. So it's, again, it's not a good picture.
Not at all. And we don't even know who the hell they're going to have on the team. I mean, that's another thing. It's April 1st now. And, I mean, we don't know anything about David Jones. We don't know anything about anybody visiting, you know? I mean, where's the motion? Is that a fair question?
Yeah, it's a fair question. I mean, other programs have already brought in transfer portal guys.
Yeah. I mean, they're doing their thing. They're making visits and stuff. And I know that Memphis is going to have people. But it's like, you guys have a lot of work to do.
Right. It better be more about piece fitting and finding the right ones as opposed to getting them all in here, you know.
Yeah, but it feels like Memphis is like, we'll just kind of take our time and we'll kind of
see. Nah, I doubt that. I don't think that's going on there with Penny.
So is it just they can't get kids on campus? Or
how could Penny not be in urgent in DEFCON 1 mode?
I would agree.
If you really want this to get back.
I would agree.
You know?
I would agree.
You're battling a lot of factors here, including perhaps some apathy setting in, which is not supposed to be the case.
Mm.
You hired Penny Hardaway to fix the attendance problem. The attendance is going down. That's not good.
Going down.
You add that to the season you just had, that's not a good thing.
Damn.
Can he get back out of it? Possibly. John said he doubts it.
I'm
not far from that because, again, how do you do it?
Right.
It's not easy to just go out there and add names, brand names that people are going to recognize, and you get to play them all at the Forum.
Exactly.
It doesn't happen that way.
Yeah, I mean.
And it's not easy to get to number 10 in the AP poll in January.
Yes.
And have people really believe it in you and start 15-2.
Exactly. And people are starting to, like, you know, question the whole enterprise, right?
Correct.
So you have all of those things just really, really working against
you. The part where John's right is that usually once these things start to unravel, they don't come back. They don't pop back and start bustling again like we're talking about.
Unless you're Kevin Keats, which I guess is hope. you know, so that would, you know, but again, it's going to take a run like that, I mean, to really get people feeling good again. And I'm not saying it can't happen, but I just think I would just bet against that right now. I mean, there's no motion, there's no roster, there's no nothing. Like do I think David Jones is going to come back? I would say I don't at this moment. I mean, I would just bet against. I'm skeptical. I'm not saying I don't know anything, but I just would bet against that. He's going to have a lot of options, like every kid in his position would, you know, NBA, other places, you know. So I just feel like at this point, with all the uncertainty, it's just hard to bet on Memphis, you know, making the tournament.
Houston last year did 13,302 actual butts in seats.
Well, that's eye opening.
So losing them. Again, we talked about how much it hurts the AAC just in terms of strength of conference schedule.
Was like in it like that.
No, but that's how into Houston we were.
Oh, you're saying Houston then Memphis?
That was last year.
Yeah.
Last okay. Season, only the Houston game and Ole Miss top 9,000, but right. Houston was 13,000.
That's huge.
302. Again, for Clemson, you only got 10,500.
That's huge.
That's my point. Losing Houston hurts you in attendance,
dude,
too.
Your league is so bad.
Your fan base had bought into it as that is our rival.
We're gonna
you know, fill in for that game.
Exactly.
They're gone now, too.
Exactly.
And you heard Kelvin Sampson. He ain't worried about a future series with Memphis because he got plenty on his plate right now.
Exactly.
So he ain't trying to save you either with a home game at FedEx Forum next year.
100%.
It's serious.
It is.
This is serious.
This is part of the turnaround now because you have to fill out a roster, you have to make a tournament, and you have to get people in Memphis to care again because people are sort of slowly stopping that at this juncture. People are slowly starting to kind of, you know, pull away. And again, I think that's all related. All of it's related to the conference sucking, you not winning the conference, you not going to the NCAA tournament, you not making the second weekend. It's all related, you know. And at any time, I think you can change it, but you have to change it.
Yep. That just for clarity, just to put the bow on this. This is the lease. Memphis averages a turnstile count between 6,000 and 10,000. It receives a reduced payment in proportion to the shortfall from the Grizzlies. If average attendance is below 6,000, Memphis gets zero. Since 2004, that has happened once. It was Tubby Smith's final season, according to this report from Jason Munns. If the average turnstile count is below 6,000 for two straight years, or what we say, 6,458 it is right now,
yeah,
the Grizzlies can terminate the school's lease.
Mm. Let's hope that does not come to pass. We'll talk about all this with Rob Doster, get his thoughts on Memphis, NCAA Tournament, Final Four, all that and more on the other side. Jason and John.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
How do you turn a fam? ESPN.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show, live from the Leaders Credit Union Studios. Let Leaders Credit Union champion your financial story at leaderscu.com/ESPN. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Foster is the co-founder of Field of 68, which coincidentally I'll be appearing on tonight on After Dark with Randolph Childress and John Henson. And he joins us now. Rob Doster, what's up, brother?
I got a question. I got a question, John. Do I look like a guy that's got nothing going on right now? A man with nothing to do?
No, well, I'll be honest. I mean, there's two games left. I mean, you do have a little bit more time now. You do have a little bit. I mean, and we don't have anything going on. I mean, the portal has been a little boring, has it not? It just feels like this portal has been uneventful so far.
Well, it's just starting, man. It is just starting. So we'll have stuff for you to complain about here soon enough, I promise you.
No,
that.
Goodman is the – Goodman.
He'll find something.
Your co-founder, Goodman, is the king of pretending that he's so ungodly busy that he can't even text anything. He's just – like he is the busiest person that has ever lived. All he's doing is giving Pat Kelsey a rub and tug. He can't be that busy.
Yeah, that's actually the perfect way to phrase it, man. I told him a while ago he needs to get out of the portal because he's pretending like he's got stuff going
on. That's right. He's just watching the screen.
So you're telling me the ninth guy on Illinois is entering the transfer portal? This is big news that you had to spend all your day chasing down?
No, I know,
you're
it's
right.
Ridiculous.
You're right. We definitely need to know about that.
Yeah, we need to look at his sort of timesheet and how he's spending his full-time hours. All right, listen, the Final Four set. It is UConn, Alabama, just like everybody predicted, and it is Purdue, NC State, just like everybody predicted. The key now, Rob, and I hate to sort of do this, but the key now is for these double-digit underdogs to stand down, right? Don't stand in the way of the Titanic matchup in the title game between UConn and Purdue.
Yeah, you know, I texted Nate Oatsat last night. I was like, look, man, I need you to take one for the team. I know this is a dream come true for you to get to the Final Four, but nobody wants to see you here.
That's right.
Just roll over, take the loss, give us some confidence, because that's what everybody wants.
That was not – you said what America is thinking, and I hope Nate Oats understood that.
No, I know. Look, I think it is kind of inevitable that we end up with that matchup. I don't think that you can be a sub-100 defense and beat this UConn team and have a prayer of beating this UConn team like Alabama does. And I think that the way that the NC State team is built is kind of like they're designed similar to what Purdue is. And I just don't think that they have what it takes to be able to – like, look, NC State kind of relies on you having to make a decision on whether or not you're going to double-team DJ Burns, right? If you double-team him, he's like a quarterback dropping back and finding the open guy and they bang on the three to get a closeout. If you don't double team him, then you got this walking vending machine with ballerina feet, shout out to Terrence Oglesby, and he's going to go beat you one-on-one. Well, you know what he's not going to do? He's not going to beat Zach Edey one-on-one on the block. Like, it ain't happening, man. Zach Edey is 7'4" and 300 pounds, and he's very good at moving his feet and just being in the way. And DJ Burns, I love you, man, but you're not going to be able to take Edey one-on-one on the post. And if you nullify that, then you kind of take away what makes NC State's offense so difficult to deal with and why they've been able to win these seven straight games. So I don't see NC State winning this game. I don't see Alabama winning this game. I think we're going to end up with the matchup that everybody wants in the national title game.
And you know, I'm not going to ask you to break it down position by position, but Klingon Edey. You know, and John was just reading me the numbers from Illinois. I think it was 0-19 that they were when they went straight at Klingon. Just in terms of that matchup, can Klingon, you know, slow him down and in a way that we have not seen when it comes to Zach Edey? What would that look like?
You know, I'm actually kind of worried about that matchup for UConn, because the one thing that Klingon is the best at is being the rim protector. Like, he'll zone you up in drop coverage. If you're attacking the rim, he is really good at just going straight up and saying, hey, I have a 7'8" wingspan, right, and I can jump pretty high in the air, and you're going to have to try to finish over when I put my hand straight up in the air, right? He's really good at that. Where he struggles is if you are somebody that is able to get a little bit of leverage on him, right? Like, he's got really high hips. He's got a really high center of gravity, and it's not easy for him to kind of hold his ground against somebody that can overpower him. Now, a lot of times you see that with guys that are a little bit smaller, that kind of like sit on his thighs, right, and then they can kind of wedge him back. It's going to be interesting to see how that matchup plays out with Zach Edey, but I'm very worried about whether or not he can stay out of foul trouble, because no, it's it's not humanly possible to stay out of foul trouble against Zaki. He's so big and so strong and so coordinated and just understands how to be able to get himself in a position where you have to foul him.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, the, you know, obviously I'm more exposed to it because it's here in my backyard, but there was just so much moaning and groaning and crying and bitching from Tennessee fans about how Zach Edey only – he drew so many fouls, right? He drew so many fouls, and he only himself was called for one. But, I mean, is this just Tennessee fan? I mean, I feel like it's a frustration from many fan bases, but specifically as it relates to Tennessee, who did they think they had that was going to command a foul on Zach Edey? I mean, Jonas Adu,
Awaka,
I mean, those guys can't play.
Yeah, here's the thing about Edey. Like, offensively – you got a guy who is the biggest, the strongest, and the most physically dominant post player that we've seen in college basketball in like a generation. Probably since Shaq, and I don't think that it is an exaggeration to say that. He is in his second full season of doing this, and what he is so good at is sealing and getting position where he needs to get the ball and putting you in a position where, like, you either have to let him score or you have to push back some way. And when you start pushing back on him, that's when it becomes a foul. And he has, imagine... John, how tall are you? What are you, like 6'1"?
Yes.
Heck now no. imagine, let's just call you 6'1", okay? Let's just call you 6'1". Imagine playing one-on-one in the post against somebody that is 5'6". Imagine that, all right? And put it on a 9-foot hoop, and imagine what you would do to somebody that is five. Imagine if you had to go one-on-one against Gary Parrish when you were posting up against Gary Parrish.
Just what do you, devastation.
What is he going to do to stop you other than to foul you? Nothing, got no chance.
100%.
That is exactly – that is Toby Awaka going up against Zach Edey. Toby Awaka is like 6'9", 6'10", 230 pounds, something like that. He's given up 70 pounds and 7 inches to Zach Edey.
No doubt.
Right? You have no choice but to foul him. And what Purdue does is run their offense through the guy that is the most unstoppable force that we have in college basketball, right? He is going to get fouled. And on the other end, what you're doing is running everything – through a guy that wants to take jump shots. Who's going to get fouled more? The 7'4", 300-pound monster that is trying to get fouled and go right at the rim, or the dude that's running off the screens and trying to get open looks at the rim?
Yep.
It's going to be Zach Edey. And here's the other part about it that kind of drives me crazy. Like, well, he doesn't commit fouls. You know what Zach Edey does? He knows how important he is on the floor. He knows that Purdue needs him on the floor. So you know what he doesn't do? He doesn't try to block shots he doesn't have a chance to get. He knows that the best thing that he could do is make it so that you cannot take a shot at the rim, be big, and if he's not going to be able to get to the block, just let you have the layup. It's more valuable for him to be able to play 39 minutes and 27 seconds than it is to try to block that one shot and try to keep those 2 points from going in. He's just smart, man. Like, you can't – I understand the frustration with the foul calls, but that is their game plan, and that is what happens within the rules. And I'll tell you what else. What people don't understand about the three-second rule in college basketball is if Zach Edey, if he's straddling the paint, right, he has 1 foot in the paint and 1 foot out of the paint, and he lifts up the foot that is in the paint for a half a second, not even a half a second. As soon as he lifts that foot up, then that count starts over. If he's straddling the paint and just lifts his foot up, then the count starts over. Because if you have 1 foot out of the lane, then and no feet in the lane, that starts the three-second rule. So he can be standing there, and as long as he lifts up that foot that's in the paint, the count starts over. So I don't want to hear stuff about 3 seconds from people that don't understand the college 3 seconds.
Yeah. Sidebar question, too, on Klingon. You can help us here. You know, the Grizzlies are, I think, seventh worst record right now. They need a big next to Jaren Jackson Jr. Many around here have been looking at Klingon and saying the perfect guy, a guy that you could go in there, rebound, block shots, everything else. Rob, there's a very good chance Gavoni's got him up to number 3 today and says he thinks he may challenge for the number 1 spot that the Grizzlies never even get a chance to whiff it. I'm just curious of what you – Walker Kessler goes in the NBA, I think starts 40 games, 40 of the 74 he played his first year. What's Klingon look like rookie year in the NBA, and what's he look like on a – if he did, if you could get it – you know, if luck fell your way, what would he look like on a contending team? How ready will he be to contribute in those areas as a rookie?
I think he'll look pretty similar to Walker Kessler. But I think he's more like the problem with this year's draft, and it's kind of what we saw in like the Anthony Bennett year, is that there is no number one pick.
Right.
Like, there is no top five pick in this draft. Everybody is like the kind of guy that you would be hoping to get in like the 8 to 10 range, right? Mm-hmm. Which is great if you can get him at 8 to 10. But if you get drafted as the number one pick in this year's draft and you're only like Walker Kessler, then you're going to get labeled as like this bust and this disappointment. So I almost hope that Donovan Clingan doesn't go that high, because it's going to put a level of expectation on him that is too high for what he is as a player. Like, he is an exceptional rim protector, as good as you're going to get defensively. He is great in drop coverage. He's a lob target. He's 7'3". He understands the value that he brings as a 7'3" dude with the 7'8" wingspan and the ability to protect the rim. He ain't someone that you're throwing the ball to in the post. He ain't Victor Wembanyama. Right. He's not making threes. He shoots like 53% from the foul line. He is a rotation big that can be a lob threat, that can protect the rim, that is going to be really good in drop coverage, that is going to be somewhere between Rudy Gobert and Walker Kessler in the NBA. If you take him number one, you're going to be disappointed with what the offense can end up being. Like, so I kind of hope that he ends up going like number 10, where the expectations won't be so high.
But I mean, that's out of the question. Bag, right? Yeah, that's not
real
happening.
Level.
I mean, this draft. Goodman tweeted that this draft is the worst that NBA scouts say they have ever seen. So being the case, now I think Goodman's full of crap mostly there. But we can't know today that this is going to be the worst. The Anthony Bennett draft was pretty damn bad. Nobody thought that at the time. You don't know how bad a draft is until 5 years later. Okay, like, so I don't even. But I do think because of that, Clingan's going to go a lot higher than you want him to go, Rob. And honestly, he should. My God, the guy was as dominant as you will ever see. And I do want to have a follow-up here, and this is not necessarily about Clingan. It's more about Illinois. I thought that was just an abysmal coaching job by Brad Underwood in that game. 0-19 challenging him directly. At what point would it have been after the 9th or the 10th, the 11th attempt, when you realize you're not going to score on him or get the second foul? Do you say, hey, we got to change this up? And why didn't they do it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I understand the game plan, right, to try to get him in foul trouble. What I would have done is try to find a way to get him to get pulled out on the perimeter a little bit more, like maybe play a lineup where you're forcing him to have to guard Coleman Hawkins on the perimeter and try to get him in foul trouble that way. But the whole idea was we're gonna send people to the basket, we're going to try to get him in foul trouble, we're going to challenge him at the rim. What other teams do to have a better post threat is they throw the ball into the block and they try to get him jumping at pump fakes and fouling him at the bucket. Didn't work with Dane Danger. I would have tried to find a way to get him to pull out and guard Coleman Hawkins, but I understand what Brad Underwood was trying to do, and it didn't work. But I'll also add, if you remember, with about a minute left in the first half, this game was tied, right? UConn played as bad of a first half as you are going to see them play. Illinois put themselves in a position with a minute left in the first half to be able to win that game. And then within like 3 minutes at the start of the second half, it snowballed to the point that the game was over. So we can sit here and we can criticize them for adjustments, and we can say that he should have done this and he shouldn't have done that. Well, they played really well, and then like it was a 3-minute avalanche, and then the game was over. So I don't know. It's hard to say like you have to be able to react in those 3 minutes to what you're doing. So I kind of give them. I don't know if he had necessarily the best game plan, but I don't. Well, I'm not going to sit here and say like Brad Underwood needs to be fired because this was horrific and he should have.
No, you know, it's not. It's Elite Day. You can't. But if that had been a performance in the first round, you know what I mean? And it wouldn't have been because they weren't going to be a 16. So I'm just saying it was like, bro, it was obvious to people in Mongolia that you had to change something up, bro. All right? Like, it was like not going to work. It was not going to work on that day, man. I don't want to skip over, so I'll ask you a question I asked Jason. Of the two Final Four games, which big dog has a chance to test the favorite more?
Which underdog?
Yeah, which underdog? I think it's going to be Alabama has a chance to test them more, just because, like, there's a real chance that Alabama can score 120 points in a game. You know what I mean? Like, they have one of those offenses where if they space it and they play with pace and they have one of those nights where they get up, like, 52 threes and they happen to hit, like, 24 of them, who knows what's going to happen on a night like that. And I do think that they have one of those offenses where it's almost matchup-proof, right? Like, no matter what you do, if they kind of get into a rhythm offensively, they're going to be making their shots, and you can make shots against good defense. So I would say Alabama has the better chance to pull off the upset. But I would also say Alabama has the better chance to lose by 45 points in the Final Four. Like, it's gonna. I hate to kind of phrase it like this, but like it's all going to come down to whether or not Alabama decides that that's going to be the night that they make a bunch of threes. You know, like they if they hit 22 threes, like all bets are off. They could also have one of those nights where they go 8-for-40 from three and end up getting completely embarrassed.
If Dan Hurley wins back-to-back titles, fill in the blank. I mean, what are we saying about him then? And then, you know, would there be any reason for money's always a good reason, but, you know, for Dan to leave? You know, is there a job out there that's up from where he's at right now, or can you just run things from his perch at UConn? And if he wins these back-to-back titles, I mean, we're going to say he's the best thing in college basketball, no?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where he would go to. You know, like, where are you?
There's not an up from here. Yeah, that's why I was curious. Is there an up from here for him? Cal next year, I don't know, you know, whatever.
I think in a vacuum, Kentucky, North Carolina, Duke, Kansas, like there's like four or five jobs that in a vacuum are better than the UConn job. The problem is, like, Dan Hurley's not a normal human being,
right?
He's not a normal coach. I don't know if Dan Hurley, I don't want to say act, but like, I don't know if his persona plays as well anywhere other than the Northeast corridor,
yeah.
Right? Like he is very Northeast. And he fits this UConn fan base perfectly. Like, they're obnoxious, they're rude, they talk a bunch of smack, like they're going to rub it in your face every time that they win a game. And he fits the mindset of the UConn fan base perfectly. UConn is going to pay him whatever they have to pay him to be able to keep him there. Like, if he wins the title again, his agent is going to go to UConn's AD and say, this is what we want. And UConn's AD is going to say, okay, we'll give you that. And here's a little bit more so that you never, ever, 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 ever leave us,
yep,
right?
Yep.
Money's not going to be the issue there. So I think that we're going to – anything that opens up – like, let's just say that Cal somehow ends up leaving – Kentucky and that job opens up, I guarantee that you're going to hear Dan Hurley's name linked there. And then you're going to hear, like, 3 days later, Dan Hurley has signed a lifetime contract with UConn where he becomes the governor of the state if he retires and wins. So it's going to be something insane like that. So he'd be insane to go anywhere else. He's such a perfect fit there. And if you're about to go back-to-back, I don't think – what else are you asking for
right.
in terms of, like, the upside of the program?
Right.
Yeah. Last thing before we get you out of here, Rob. We were talking before you came on about the Memphis basketball situation and their attendance. And last year, what was it, Jason? Like
6,458.
6,450.
Actual butts in seats, not announced, Rob. But the butts in seats matters for their lease agreement.
Yeah.
If it drops below 6,000, they get no payout in their lease agreement with the Grizzlies.
Right.
So that's why it matters so much around here.
And so again, in an 18,000 seat arena, to only be able to fill basically one third of it. I think it's a multifaceted issue. It's the conference. It's not being able to get big home and homes. It's lack of performance. How fixable do you think, just as a whole, Memphis is under Penny Hardaway? How far do you think he is? Like, just what's your, after what was a very, very tragic, devastating season, not making the tournament after that start, what's just your assessment of the whole picture?
6,827.
6,827. What's your assessment of Memphis?
I don't think it necessarily is the conference, right? Like, if, let's just say, what did they start, like 13-0 this year, number 10 in the country?
If 15-2.
If they're number 10 in the country in February, do you think it matters if they're playing, like, Tulsa?
No, you're right. I mean, Cal showed that. I mean, Cal had that thing packed out. Now, you know, the Grizzlies were not a relevant factor back then, but, you know, they weren't this year either. I feel like people would have gravitated to it.
Yeah, like, if you win, people are going to show up. It doesn't matter what conference you're in now. It also would help, like, if your home game, even if you're bad and you're playing, like, a Kansas at home or a Houston at home, then I think that it also, you probably get more people showing up just because it's more of like a rivalry game. But we got to go see these guys play. But if you're good, you're going to have butts in seats. And, I mean, look, I think he built the roster the way that you need to build a roster. I think you had the pieces that you needed to be able to have to win this year. And the issue that they ran into, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong here, is like the bottom fell out because people just couldn't get along. There were too many egos, too many cooks in the kitchen, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of torpedoed what could have been an incredible season for Memphis. So, again, Penny built this roster. We kind of saw something similar happen in 2021. It blew up early enough that he was able to make some roster decisions, make some lineup decisions, and find a way to be able to write that ship. He was not able to write that ship this year, I think probably because there was more than just one or two names and people that were upset about the way things were going. So I wouldn't want to cut bait on Penny just yet. I think that the fact that he's able to get those players into the program is relevant, and I think the fact that he is able, like, he kind of understands what is working in modern college basketball is important, but you got to be better about the personality that you bring together, and maybe, I don't know, give them some kind of personality test before they end up coming into your program.
No question.
If you look at what UConn did, and not to turn everything back to UConn, but if you look at what UConn did, they went out and they got a guy in Cam Spencer who is the absolute perfect fit for a lunatic like Dan Hurley, right? Like, the guys on that roster, Tristan Newton can handle getting chewed out over and over and over again because he's just so laid back and calm and cool. Just, you know, you got to find the personalities that are all going to fit together and mesh.
No doubt. Do you have like
got to do some chewing out?
Do you have like a booklet maybe you could forward to us that we could just give to the Memphis basketball program? Just pass it right along over if you have that personality test. You know, we'd love to help out.
If I had a personality test that said whether or not to bring some of the board, if you would like him, then John Martin would never be a part of the Field of 68. So.
That's right. And I'm doing two shows in a row. Are you doing it tomorrow? Are you filling in? What's the deal?
You're hosting?
Yes.
I'm sick.
Hey, that's been going around the Field of 68 offices, man. Everybody's under the weather all of a sudden, you know?
Hey, look who's talking. Where were you for our Selection Sunday show?
I lost my voice.
Very sick.
I lost my voice.
I can't talk. My voice is gone.
I lost my voice, man. I was cheering too hard for your Huskies. Thanks, brother. Appreciate you as always.
Appreciate you, Rob.
Later, fellas.
Yep. He is Rob Doster, Field of 68. Good stuff from him as always. UConn is definitely the example, no question about it. We'll come back. I respect burgers, and then Jason Fitz at 125. Stick around. Jason and John, how do you turn FM, ESPN?
Dingers, blasts, moonshots, I call them home runs, whatever you call them. Everybody loves them. And with FanDuel Dinger Tuesdays, that's tomorrow, you can love them even more. That's right. Dinger Tuesdays is back for another season on America's number one sportsbook. Just bet on a player to homer, and FanDuel will give you $5 in bonus bets for every home run hit during that game, as if you need another reason to love the long ball. Visit FanDuel.com/JSmith to get in on all the Dinger Tuesday action. Pick your home run hitter and have some fun. That's FanDuel.com/JSmith all throughout the baseball season. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball and of 92.9 FM ESPN. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max bonus $25 per game. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.